Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I'm Andrew DeWolf.
And I'm Brianna Jones.
And welcome to Musicals with Cheese, a podcast where I try to get Andrew to like musical theater. How are you doing today, Andrew?
You know, I'm thinking about starting a vlog, you know? You know, like early YouTube type stuff. What do you think of that?
I think it's a good idea, but like, what would it be about? Because we can't just do gaming vlogs anymore.
No, it's probably going to be about this girl that I have a huge crush on and how like... She's dating some other guy who's, like, totally a dick, and, like, I'm way better than him, and she should date me instead.
Is he a Chad?
He's a bit of a Chad, and I'm a bit of a virgin, so, yeah, it's kind of a... It's a situation, and I'm gonna publish that to the internet.
That's okay, but are you also gonna do terrorism and publish that as well as this?
I feel like that was a given.
Oh, yeah. Threatening terrorism. Are you trying to get into the evil league of evil, Andrew?
You got me.
We all just want to be like bad horse, don't we?
Oh man, that's the best part of the whole thing, isn't it?
All right, guys. This week we are talking about Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. Cue the music, Brie.
With my freeze ray, I will find the time to find the words to tell you how you make me feel. What's the phrase? Like a fool, kinda sick, special needs. Anyways, with my freeze ray, I will stop the pain.
Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog is a 2008 musical comedy drama miniseries in three acts, produced exclusively for internet distribution, filmed and set in Los Angeles. It was written by Joss Whedon, Zach Whedon, Marissa Tancheron, and Jed Whedon. They also did the music and lyrics. It was based on Joss Whedon's internalized misogyny, and it premiered on the internet in 2008, but it has a little bit of a steamy history. The series was written by Joss Whedon and his brothers and all that, and it was during the Writers Guild of America strike. Do you remember this, Andrew?
I think I do. Isn't this when, like, Transformers 2 came out without writers?
Yes, you are right, Andrew. do you remember what they were on strike about?
I can't say I know that.
Specifically, it was about the use of their writers' content being used for web content without compensation, because web was not considered any part of television media. And now look at how far we've come. So this was done, written during the writer's strike, and to create something small and inexpensive yet professionally done in a way that would circumvent the issues that were being protested during the strike. And it was overwhelmingly positive. Like, it was one of the biggest internet sensation hits at the time. It was number 15 in Time's top 50 inventions of 2008. Think about that. It won the People's Choice Award for Favorite Online Sensation and the 2009 Hugo Award for Best Dramatic Presentation of a Short Film. At the inaugural 2009 Streamy Awards, I wonder if that's still going on, Dr. Horrible won 7 awards: Audience Choice Award, Best Web Series, Best Directing for a Comedy Web Series, Best Writing for a Comedy Web Series, Best Male Actor in a Comedy Web Series, Best Editing, Best Cinematography, and Best Original Music. It also won a 2009 Creative Arts Emmy Award for Outstanding Special Class Short Format Live Action Entertainment Program. I mean, you don't just get that every day.
I think they made that award up specifically to give to this.
Yeah, so they could say they got an Emmy. But the show tells the story of Dr. Horrible, as played by Neil Patrick Harris, an aspiring supervillain, Captain Hammer, Nathan Fillion, his superheroic nemesis, and Penny, Felicia Day, a charity worker that is their shared love interest. Now, this was a Patreon request by a... Like, they upgraded to request this. This is from Villainous Miss over there on Patreon. Also over on Patreon, you can see Andrew's initial reaction, because a little while ago, I think over a year ago, we did a full-length commentary on Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, where we got to show it off. But Andrew, you rewatched it for this. What do you think of Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog?
Oh boy, Dr. Horrible, I honestly don't even remember my initial reaction. I assume it wasn't positive.
No.
honestly, it's still kind of not positive. I think I might have warmed up to it a tiny bit in that I didn't think it was, like, unwatchable, but it's very much not very funny most of the time, and I feel like it's just aged badly, like, very badly, in that the jokes aren't funny anymore. It's very, like, 2008 nerd culture type jokes.
What would be an example of that for those that don't remember 2008 nerd culture? Remember, 2008 was the year the Nostalgia Critic started really picking up steam.
Boy, what was out in 2008? I mean, the jokes in this are just, like, Dr. Horrible awkwardly says things to the camera, and the joke is that it's awkward, and that's it. That's the entire joke.
So Tumblr humor.
Kinda. Which I assume that's where this was incredibly popular, is like those type of circles.
You are completely correct. Do you know anything about Joss Whedon, like, at all?
I've seen The Avengers and The Avengers 2. and I know that he made other movies that I have not seen.
Have you watched Firefly?
No.
Have you watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Maybe like one episode.
Bree nods because she's watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
The only one I was ever interested in and I still haven't seen is Cabin in the Woods, which I'm pretty sure is Joss Whedon. And I
he
have
did
not
write
watched
that,
it yet.
Yes.
I also didn't watch that, so.
yeah, have you seen Toy Story?
I have seen Toy Story.
He did uncredited rewrites of that.
Ooh, kind of like the rewrites he did for that other movie that no one likes.
Oh, Justice League?
Yeah.
Joss Whedon is a complicated figure as far as fandom goes, because he started his career like as this feminist paragon is in form of media. Like, everyone saw him as like this really like proto-feminist kind of guy, really trying to give women the spotlight with Buffy the Vampire Slayer and all that.
Breaking the glass ceiling.
Yeah, he broke the glass ceiling for Sarah Michelle Gellar. Now, that being said, it turns out he was very abusive on the set of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, fired one actress for getting pregnant, cheated on his wife incessantly, and was just all around a terrible person, including on the Justice League set. He is not a nice feller. So I have never seen such a strong, like, pendulum turn of a person on the internet as hard as Joss Whedon, where at one point he was just held as this paragon of integrity, and then the next minute he can't even get a job doing anything else because he is such a toxic human being.
Very cool.
Yeah. And I think a lot of his misogynistic instincts pop up in this musical.
Wait, you think that this musical is sexist?
I don't know, Andrew. Why don't you tell us the plot and maybe we can unpack this ourselves?
Okay. Dr. Horrible is a supervillain who does a vlog for whatever reason, where he vlogs all of the stuff that he does. He has a sidekick who is very sweaty, so it's kind of like our web show in a way.
Shut up. Shut the fuck up. It is 98 degrees in Detroit today, and I'm just trying to not die here.
I had to say it. Okay,
I haven't been drinking, I promise.
He has a nemesis, Captain Hammer, who is Gaston. That is his character trait. He is Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. And he has a love interest, who I'm pretty sure they give a name to.
Penny.
Penny, yeah. She is not a character. She is a prop for all of this. Dr. Horrible accidentally introduces Captain Hammer to Penny, and then Captain Hammer uses her to get to Dr. Horrible by dating her and pretending to care about homeless people. And then Dr. Horrible accidentally kills Penny, and then it ends.
Yeah. What? How dare you say that Penny doesn't have any personality traits? She likes helping the homeless, and she doesn't eat meat. She goes to the laundromat occasionally.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what she would see in either of these dudes, to be honest. That is what almost destroys her ability to be seen as a human being, is because it's like if you have it's like if you threw Brie into a cartoon and then gave her two dudes to choose from, and she's just kind of this normal human being, like, the fuck's going on here?
I mean, I think the implication with her wanting Captain Hammer is just because he's hot.
I don't know about that one.
She says that in the show. She tells Dr. Horrible that he's really attractive.
I mean, he is attractive. He's what you call it. And he's Nathan Fillion.
She is unable to see through his very plain, disguise that he's doing, essentially, where he's pretending to not be a horrible person, Captain Hammer. So she thinks that he's sweet as well, because she just cannot read people, I guess.
Maybe. I also think that she sees him as a means to an end for the home. Like, that would be a more interesting character to attribute to add to her, where she's literally just using him to get more attention on the homeless issue.
Yeah, that would make more sense. Though that doesn't seem to be her actual intention.
No, because that would involve giving a woman goals outside of being with a dude. And Joss Whedon's not great at that.
The one positive thing I'll say is she does at least decide to walk out when Captain Hammer does his horrible song about how he loves homeless people because everyone's a hero.
I think that just goes to show, like, Captain Hammer and or the writer's hatred of homeless people and how they ruin LA.
And I mean, it's very clear you're not supposed to agree with Captain Hammer, so I don't know if that's true.
But are we
Captain Hammer is definitely the bad guy.
But are we supposed to agree with Billy, on the other hand, or Dr. Horrible?
I don't know. I kind of feel like yes, but maybe not.
He literally says homelessness is a symptom of a rotting head, so we have to cut off the head of society.
Yeah, he doesn't really have motives is kind of the thing. He really likes Penny, and nothing he does is in order to try to get, like, go on a date or anything with Penny. So,
well, he decides that he's in love with her before he's even spoken to her, so he's put her up on a pedestal.
Yes, and he doesn't do anything to try to, like, get to know her or, like, anything, really. And his supervillain stuff, he just does out of self-interest, because I guess he wants to be a supervillain, and that's really it.
Do you want to hear how Wikipedia describes Dr. Horrible?
Sure.
His socio-political beliefs include the paradoxical idea of autocratic anarchy. The world is a mess and I just need to rule it. Anarchy that I run. It's Dr. Horrible's turn.
That isn't anarchy. That is autocracy. And that's it. But sure. So he's basically just a dictator, a wannabe dictator.
Yes. So the thing is, he wants to be in the evil league of evil, and they said if he wants to join, he has to kill someone, and he doesn't want to kill nobody. But then he ends up by proxy killing Penny because his weapon was fired by Captain Hammer, who really wanted to kill him, but accidentally killing Penny. And the shitty Tumblr thing was, Dr. Horrible got everything he wanted, and all it cost him was a penny.
So, there is a lot of media now that is just this, but way better. And I mean, like, a lot.
How do you mean?
Okay, so Megamind came out after this, and Megamind is like this, but better, just directly.
You are right.
Without the musicals aspect, I suppose. You also have new stuff like The Boys and Invincible that do the what if superheroes bad kind of angle, like Captain Hammer, like way better. And then there's just like the massive amount of superhero stuff that has come out since this that is better as well. I don't know. Is there a reason to go back and watch this?
I mean, if it's not just nostalgia, which I will admit this was pretty big in 2008, a lot of people define their personalities based on this, along with a lot of Joss Whedon's other garbage.
Well, I feel a little bad for them. Maybe they should watch new stuff.
Well, that being said, like, for a bunch of people gathering $200,000 to make something during a strike, how does this fare as just, like, a short-form media?
I think it is fine and watchable, but I didn't get very much out of it, and that's it, you know? What's your favorite joke in Dr. Horrible?
Oh my gosh, my favorite joke? Honestly, it's just the only thing I find actually funny is when he reads the letters from the Evil League of Evil and then cowboys pop out.
That is the best joke, yes.
That is a great joke. I love the idea of the Evil League of Evil being run by a character named Bad Horse that is just a literal horse.
Yeah.
That is evil.
I almost wish there was just more of that and less of everything else, but I guess the budget wasn't there for that kind of stuff.
No. The effects look bad even for 2008.
Yeah, although not bad for 2008 YouTube.
No, pretty good for 2008 YouTube. Also,
the costumes are lazy. Oh yeah. My god.
Yep.
Captain Hammer's outfit is just a t-shirt and gloves.
That could be that one almost plays as a joke to me. I almost kind of like that one.
You almost like, okay. Fair.
I think that's at least intended to be a joke.
I wish Captain Hammer used a hammer more often.
The hammer is his penis.
Yes, but I wish he used a hammer more often.
I'm just quoting the movie at you.
I know that the hammer is his penis, but I also kind of wish that he had a hammer. Because I feel like it would be interesting. I don't know. They don't do any, like, action scenes or anything in this.
No. It's all about the character development, Andrew. How often can we film them eating ice cream together?
I don't understand the inclusion of the sweaty guy from Big Bang Theory.
I'm sorry. That's the guy that gets murdered in a net?
That's also true.
He went on to bigger and better musicals later in his career.
Annette was better than this, yes.
Okay.
Like, is there anything more to say about Dr. Horrible? Like, it's so short, and I guess I just have nothing to say about this.
What do you
it's
think
like,
about the
fine.
Ending? The manipulative ending?
Oh, like where they're trying to get you to feel bad for him, or?
Okay, who are we supposed to feel? Okay, so Penny is a character, a prop that gets murdered at the end. And we're supposed to
You
feel,
are not supposed to feel bad for Penny.
Yeah, we have no empathy for Penny. We're not like, oh my god, what a life she could have had. Or,
they
oh my god.
They kind of directly tell you not to feel bad for her because, like, she dies and her last words are, Captain Hammer will save us. Which, basically, you see Dr. Horrible's reaction to that and you're supposed to feel like, oh my goodness, she doesn't care at all about Dr. Horrible. That's so sad.
I mean, there's that side of it, but there's also, like, are we supposed to feel bad for Billy? This girl that he never knew? That had no interest in him romantically at all?
I mean, I think you are, because doesn't it end with a surprising cut to him in normal clothes, talking about how he doesn't feel anything anymore?
Let's talk about masculinity before we talk about that. What do you think the story has to say about masculinity, toxic or otherwise?
I think it's very Joss Whedon feminism, where toxic masculinity is big, strong guy, you know, Captain Hammer. So bad men are the big, strong guys that get all the girls, and good men are the weak little nerdy guys, and they can't be sexist because they're weak little nerdy guys. And I feel like that's Joss Whedon's version of feminism, and always kind of has been. It's very Chad versus incel. Feminism.
I kind of want to break this down a little bit more, because I do agree with you, but the thing is this a critique of nerdy toxic masculinity, or is it an endorsement of it?
It is an example of it.
Well, okay, so let's think about vulnerability for a second. When Dr. Horrible is Dr. Horrible in costume doing the vlogs, he executes like this bravado of like how great he is talking himself up. As soon as he becomes Billy, he comes meek, mild-mannered, calm, a little neggy, but that's about it.
Are you saying it might be disguised? Or, like, the actual subtext is that his inner sexism is a supervillain?
I think it might be something like that, but also it's about vulnerability. The only time Dr. Horrible can be vulnerable is when he's Billy, and the only time he can feel masculine is when he's Dr. Horrible, whereas Captain Hammer is always masculine, always confident, because he is always that. So the removal of the secret identity, by the end of it, they flip-flop. So Dr. Horrible is now the outward persona, where Billy is the one that vlogs online to show his vulnerability. I don't know what that is to say, but I do think that there is something there. And also, Captain Hammer shows his vulnerability right at the end. He feels pain, cries, and sobs, and becomes a little weakly man.
But that's a joke. We're supposed to laugh at that.
Yeah. So I think this musical kind of hates the fact that men can show vulnerability, and when they do, it's something to be laughed at, unless you're a geeky nerd.
I feel like it doesn't really know what it wants to say.
It feels very confused in its message, and
it feels like the writer needed to examine their own relationship with these ideas before they tried to write something about it. Or we're just kind of getting their conflicting inner feelings about these ideas directly in the story.
Remember when,
like,
oh, what was that?
Big strong guy becomes vulnerable. That is hilarious. We should laugh. He goes to therapy, funny as hell, because, I mean, he's a big strong guy.
Only pussies go to therapy.
Yeah, but weak guy
becomes strong man.
Like, that's a good thing, sort of. I'm not really sure how to interpret it. It's what he wanted, I guess.
Yeah, it's a confusing story. Joss Whedon allegedly said that he made more money off this than he did the Avengers, because the budget to earnings ratio.
The Avengers was better.
I don't like the first Avengers movie.
It's fine. It's not that good, though.
No, especially...
The later Avengers were actually better, I think. All Marvel's kind of eh. It's like a big TV show.
Yeah, so is this, though.
This is like a little TV show.
Yeah. So, do you remember what Joss Whedon was on Justice League, and he made Gal Gadot, like a joke about, like, the Flash falling on her boobs, and then she refused to shoot it, and then he said some terrible things about her, and then she came out in the press saying, like, yeah, he threatened my job and all that, and then Joss Whedon waits 2 years to think of an apology, and you know what he says? Gal Gadot's wrong. She doesn't speak English well, so she must have misunderstood. Joss Whedon's a piece of shit.
That's not an apology, actually. That's,
Yeah, he had 2 years to think of what to say, and that's what he spat out.
Maybe it's because he didn't think of anything to say during those 2 years. He thought of it in the last 2 seconds when someone asked him.
When you're right, Andrew. You know what, Andrew? Let's compare our opinions to those of the crazy folks over on Letterboxd.com. It's time for our favorite segment of the show. It's time for previews! It's time for the Letterboxd game, where we have to guess whether the review was a 1-star or a 5-star. Bree, why don't you get to it?
It's time for previews. It's time for previews.
Okay. The first one is... It seems like it fits the theme of this. Incel, the musical.
1-star.
That is a 5-star.
Damn you, Letterboxd!
They liked the fact that it was an incel musical.
I mean, you can always laugh at an incel.
You know, in some regards, I kind of agree. It's funny in that sense.
All right, Andrew. He's just like me. And then, like, 10 exclamation points. Oh, my God.
Oh, somebody needs to seek help.
Yeah, is that Joss Whedon's review?
5 stars?
That is a 5-star.
He's just like me, for real, watching American Psycho.
All right. The next one is, have you ever watched a movie?
I haven't, but that sounds like a 1-star.
That's a 1-star.
Hell yeah!
Okay, Andrew. Give the horse an Oscar.
I agree with that one.
That's funny. And they made it to the end. 5 stars?
Can you see me?
Yes.
Perfect, because I can't see you. I'm having all the tech issues today.
It's been a day for Brie.
Okay, I'm back. But that was horrible. Okay, you guys are 1-1 right now.
Hell yeah.
Wait, so was I wrong?
What'd you say?
I thought it was 5.
Yes, you were wrong. I had to double check. 1-1. My keyboard isn't working either. I just wanted to put that out there.
Bree looks like a frustrated mother, like, standing over boiling mac and cheese while, you know, the smoke alarm's going off.
You know,
I'm really just having a hard time.
Maybe
and
got
I don't
a computer
even
virus from all that pornography. You know, it happens.
I got an email from my dad that says urgent safety notification on your 2015 Jeep. I just can't today.
Oh my god, Bree, are you all right?
If I cry by the end of this episode, I would say, no. Okay, we're 1-1 right now. Okay, Jess, you're up.
I'm up, all right.
Okay, a great concept, but really should have been a 5-minute sketch.
You know what? I'm going to say 5-star because they said it was a great concept.
It is a 5-star. Okay. Said, yep.
What a concept.
They don't put up the lyrics on the screen. How is this a sing-along?
That makes a good point.
That is actually a really good point. 1-star.
That's a 1-star.
The 1-star. Da-da-da-ba-da.
Okay. Joss Whedon could have been the next Sondheim.
No, he couldn't have. You are wrong. Just because Sondheim said that he liked the Buffy episode doesn't mean shit. That's a 5-star.
That is a 5-star. You are correct. Okay, moving on. Andrew, do I like it or no?
I guess that is what I'm trying to guess, isn't it?
They didn't know that, though.
5 stars?
That's a 1-star.
It sounds like they did know if they liked it or not, then. Why did they...
Right? Right, I mean, very confusing comment review there, right? Okay. Jess. Ha 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 ha! What? All exclamation, or all uppercase.
I'm going to give that a 1-star.
That is a 1-star. All right, Andrew. This was one of the only albums I paid for on iTunes in middle school.
5 stars.
That's a 1-star.
You spent fucking money on it. You didn't like it?
Yeah, but that was me in middle school. I'm an adult now.
Maybe he was embarrassed about that. Or she. I don't know. They should be. I don't know who. They were embarrassed. Okay. Jess, I truly believe this is a perfect piece of entertainment. Edit. I was a different person 10 years ago, but... leaving for posterity.
Fuck. Oh, God. Okay, they probably changed the rating, so I'm going to go 1-star.
No, they didn't. They left it at a 5.
Fuck!
There should be a sequel with Moist as the main character.
Yeah, it's called Annette.
Moist, that's right. That is the sweaty guy's name. They know the sweaty guy's name. That's a 5-star.
That's a 1-star.
Get the fuck out of here.
Felicia, honey, I am so sorry for what the wardrobe department put you through.
Fun fact, Felicia Day brought all of her own clothes from home.
Oopsie.
That sounds like a 1-star.
That is a 1-star. All right, Andrew, catch up. You can do this. This gave me nightmares as a kid.
1-star.
That's a 1-star. Why were they eating yogurt with a spork? Jess.
1-star.
That is a 1-star.
It's so that he could drive it into his leg and it would make sense.
Yeah, for the joke.
Ah, yes.
And all that yogurt was McDonald's soft serve.
What?
Ice cream machine worked? Understandable. Thank you very much.
5 stars. All right, Andrew, this last one is for you. Watched at 2 a.m. with Andrew singing all the songs slightly out of sync with the audio because of Discord lag.
This is your review, Jess?
I wish.
That sounds like a 5-star to me.
That is a 5-star.
Yeah! We did it!
Jess, you won, but because of all my technical errors, you guys tied.
Yeah, we're...
What? How did we tie?
I have no idea. I don't know if I was actually keeping track. All right, that was this week's segment of Previews.
You couldn't use your keyboard, that's right.
On that note, how about we go into a mid-show?
Sounds like a good idea.
Thanks, Andrew. I love it when you yes-and me for once.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt you in the middle of the show, but we've got a shoo at you. Today's show is brought to you by the extremely kind donations by our donors over at P-A-T-R-E-O-N Patreon. Andrew, tell us about that.
Oh man, Patreon's where you can go if you want to get some extra content and give us some money. You know, people like to give us money because it lets us do the show. But also you can get commentary tracks like you can see what we actually thought of Dr. Horrible as we watched it.
Yes.
And lots of other stuff. And there's just like an additional podcast on there. So plus video versions of this episode. You can watch me lean further and further back in my chair every episode.
You can see the cutout moments where Bree deals with her tech issues.
Very cool. Very cool.
You can see the parts that Bree decides are too spicy for the real episode.
And you can see just how sweaty Jess got for this episode.
I am so fucking sweaty right now.
He's in character at the moment moist.
I had to play go method for this, you guys.
Method. Okay.
Also, we don't promote this enough, but if you do join our Patreon, you do get a discount on all of our merch. You get a discount code. Just add join our Patreon and message us.
We actually have some pretty good merch.
We do. Also, Andrew, I think this is a good time to announce we will be at BroadwayCon this year. We'll be doing a live show.
Yes, we will. We're going to be on Saturday the 9th of July, I'm pretty sure.
At 1 p.m. Yes, we will be doing a live show. We do not quite know what we'll be talking about, but it will be a lot of fun. And we'll be giving away some merch in a letterbox contest. So be there and you'll get free stuff. And you can hang out with us. It'll be fun. Our current patrons are Melissa Goldman, Leighton Ackles, Danielle Rennox, Justice Stampede, Ewan Cassidy, Monica Thoreau, Mina Maniri, Brent Black, Nathaniel Stacey Coombe, Joseph Evans Green, Carrie Ahern, Mary Lou Choquette, John Van Als, Russ Walker, Musical Hell, Emily Gracie, Kyle Summers, Jen A.C., Scoot in the Technicolor Dreamcoat, Liz Lim, Allison Steller, Nothing Is Certain Except Beth and Taxes, Thesbian, Ren Cullen, Raphael, Martina Salaz, Jessica T, Mitchell Young, Chai Teacup, Katie McDonough, Timothy Keys, Chris Marcotte, Mimu, Kiji Marie Anastasio, Layla, RJ Norija, Super Antelope, Charlie B, Patrick Deering, Avery Brinson, Bjorn Hermans, Joanna Oakley, Erica S, Toriana Frazier, Sammy, The Most, Lopez, Lyanna Morton, Angela, Kaylee Blazier, Birdman69, Cinemageddon Reviews, Villainous Miss, Sophina Ali, The Omega Geek, Katrin Evans, Paige Pearson, Maddie Wargle, Jonathan, Elena Resnick, Rachel Bishop, Elisa Erdman, and Anna Loskotova. They give us some financial support over at Patreon that helps us keep the lights on, helps get Bree paid, and helps us pay for trips. If you'd like to support us, go the fuck over there, I guess. All right, we're ready to get back to the show?
I believe we're ready to get back to the show.
I don't believe you, Andrew.
Well, believe it.
Laundry day, see you there. Under things, tumbling. Wanna say, love your hair. Here I go, mumbling. With my freeze ray, I will stop the world. With my freeze ray, I will find the time to find the words to.
What do you think of the opening number, My Freeze Ray?
Oh, boy. Yeah, so I have some opinions on the music in this, just in general.
All right.
Because I find a lot of it is just really bland.
Bland, you say?
Yeah, is that a wrong opinion? Am I incorrect here?
I get why you would say it. I understand.
Like, all of the songs kind of feel like they're the same song, in a way. I'm sure there are, like, themes and things that I didn't catch, but I never really felt like, you know, each character had their own, like, thing going on, music-wise.
Okay, let me say it like this. I disagree in that I feel like every song is on its own island, where they all feel so disparate from each other that there's not a cohesive thematic
feel. Maybe that's
feel.
More what I think. Maybe that's more what it is, like, it's not that they sound the same, it's that all of the music is just everywhere, all at once.
Because we start with My Freeze Ray, which is this bouncy opening number that's also an I Want song about stopping time and being in love with Penny, in theory.
Yes.
Then we jump into a Bad Horse chorus where they sing about, like, a horse that wants you to be... That's like the Western song.
Bad horse, bad horse, bad horse. He rides across the nation, the thoroughbred of sin. He got the application that you just sent in. It needs evaluation, so let the games begin. A heinous crime, a show of force, a murder would be nice, of course. Bad horse, bad horse, bad horse. He's bad. The evil league of evil is watching, so beware. The grade that you receive will be your last, we swear. So make the bad horse gleeful, or he'll make you his mare. Saddled up, there's no recourse. It's
Hyrule
Silver, side bad horse.
The horse chorus thing, I kind of count as its own, because it's like a joke song.
That is a theme. That comes up in almost every episode.
It's true. But it is a joke song.
Yes.
In that it's like a Western sound purposefully to be a joke. It's supposed to be funny in a LOL so random holds up spork kind of way, you know?
Yes. That works. But then you have the Caring Hand song with Penny, which also becomes her song later in the show. Like, that's a theme. Like, the here's a story of a girl, da 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 da. Like, that is the only way that Penny sings throughout the entire show.
Will you lend a caring hand to shelter those who need it? Only have to sign your name, don't even have to read it. Would you help?
No. How about you?
I kind of forgot that she had more than one song, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, she has that brief moment where she's like, will anyone sign my paper? It's the same theme as my song later.
Okay. No, like, that's fair.
It feels like every character is written by a different person. Probably because every character was written by a different person.
Good.
That's why there is 1, 2, 3, 4 writers for both music and lyrics. So Marissa Tancharion Rowan, yeah, that sounds right. She wrote all Penny songs, basically. She focused solely on that. Joss Whedon focused on, like, the Doctor Horrible songs, and everyone else focused on, like, Captain Hammer and the ensemble.
I will say the A Man's Gotta Do song, I think, is the best one, and maybe is the best in, like, giving us an actual insight into what the show is supposed to be about.
A man's gotta do what a man's gotta do. Seems destiny ends with me saving you. The only doom that's looming is you loving me today. So I'll give you a second to catch your.
I just wish Nathan Fillion was a better singer.
Yes.
I don't disagree with you, but when we get to the end, when we have the three of them singing over each other, where you got Penny singing her bit, you got Nathan Fillion singing his bit, Neil Patrick Harris singing his bit, Neil Patrick Harris can nail it. Neil Patrick Harris has boundless talent and has the vocal range. He, all things together, if he was not in this, the show wouldn't even work a little bit. He brings... And I'm not just saying that because I know he pretty much listens to the show. That's the one thing I know that he listens to is this show. But he does make this work. Nathan Fillion works when he's not singing, and he gets a couple solos. But it just becomes a cacophony of noise, and everyone, it just bleeds together in an unpleasant way by the end of it. So I can't say this is my favorite song. But I really like My Eyes, which is the number between Penny and Dr. Horrible, the incel anthem, so to say.
I cannot believe my eyes, how the world's filled with filth and lies. But it's plain to see evil inside of me is on the rise.
God, why all the songs are about the weird incel shit?
Yeah, so he's basically stalking Penny and Captain Hammer on their dates and is talking about, like, the darkness in me is taking over and Penny doesn't care that that's all that they'll be there. And you haven't spoken to her more than once, dude.
Yeah, also, you literally already had the darkness in you in the beginning of the fucking thing.
Yeah, I kind of like this. I think it's the best shot number in the entire thing. It's like they had some visual ideas for, like, musically how it will play out. I think this really works.
I think as far as it goes, yeah, I just don't like this number because of what it is, I guess.
I hate the content like the form. Is that the way to say
it? I suppose it is, yes.
Penny song, very boring song, very boring theme.
Yep. I don't remember Brand New Day.
Brand New Day was the really fast one, like the one where he becomes Godzilla and starts stomping everywhere.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Because he decides he's gonna kill Captain Hammer.
It's a brand new day and the sun is high. All the birds are singing that you're gonna die. How I hesitated, now I wonder why. It's a brand new day. All the times that you beat me unconscious, I forgive. All the crimes incomplete, listen, honestly, I'll live. Mr. Cool, Mr. Right, Mr. Know-it-all is through. Now the future's so bright, and I owe it all to you. Who showed me the light.
Yeah, he decides murder is the way. I don't know why a supervillain wouldn't want to murder, but, you know.
Because there's nothing cool about murder. There's nothing smart about it. It's just quick and easy. It's a lazy storytelling maneuver.
Yeah, it's just a way to make us be like, oh, well, he's not really a bad guy, because he doesn't like murder.
Yeah, he's just a thief, I guess.
I suppose. I mean, if his thing actually was that he just wanted to be a thief, I guess that'd be interesting, but...
Yeah, because all we do see him do is steal things for most of it.
Yeah, except for he's using the stuff he's stealing to create weapons that are, I can only assume, used to kill people.
He made a freeze ray to freeze people, and they turned into a death ray.
Yeah. What else? So they say...
That's the one where everyone's talking about, like, you know, the newscasters.
They're all singing about how good it is that Captain Hammer is helping homeless people. And then Captain Hammer sings Everyone's a Hero, which is just, good Lord.
Everyone's a hero in their own way. In their own, not that heroic way. So I thank my girlfriend, Penny. Yeah, we totally had sex. She showed me there's so many different muscles I can flex. There's the deltoids of compassion. There's the abs of being kind.
What, you don't love, like, making fun of homeless people? I feel like that would be one thing you would really, really enjoy, Andrew.
There's a lot of jokes at the expense of homeless people.
Yeah, and it doesn't read well, to be honest.
This one, you got the R word in there, too. Really,
oh, he does?
Yeah, going edgy. He doesn't say the whole thing. He says the ending. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
you're
right.
Four-letter version.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't think you'd want me to say it on the podcast.
I would not, but yes. But it was to solve a fucking rhyme, too.
Yep, it was. Very cringe. Not cool.
Yeah, and finally, the manipulative final number, Everything You Ever, where Dr. Horrible comes to terms with the fact that he murdered the object of his obsession, and object in the literal sense because Penny didn't have a personality.
Here lies everything, the world I wanted at my feet. My victory's complete, so hail to the king.
rise and see.
Yeah, and the only thing, she was the only thing keeping him from being horrible, truly horrible.
Allegedly,
and now he doesn't
yes.
feel anything.
Now he's a sociopath, and he can only feel his feelings in his blogs as himself.
And he wasn't that any before.
No, he was feeling normal things as himself, but not in the blogs. He was a sociopath in the blogs. Now they switch places. This movie's kind of dumb, Andrew.
Yeah.
Not to say that we know more than Joss, Jed Whedon, and Zach Whedon, all the Whedon fucking clan, but I don't think you guys had your ideas all in order. But you know what, Bree, Andrew, me, I think it's time for us to ask the ultimate question. Which character from Dr. Horrible are we? We have a BuzzFeed quiz here, and I think it's time that we finally decide which one it is. Are we ready?
You found a BuzzFeed quiz on this?
This was popular in the olden days.
It's interesting. I'm looking at, like, reviews, and there's not many.
Yeah. All right, are we ready?
Oh, boy.
About this quiz, are we ready to hear the about on it?
Oh, God, I forgot about the first joke in the whole thing.
A lot of guys ignore the laugh, and that's about standards.
Yeah, and the joke is that his evil laugh is like, ha 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 ha, like really bad.
That's horrible.
All right, Andrew, yeah. What does your evil laugh sound like? Read those answers for us, Andrew.
We have, ma ha 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 ha, tee hee hee, that's hilarious. We have, ha 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 ha, and fa ha 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 la ha fa la.
All right, which one do you think is closest to us, Bree?
To you two?
Us as a collective.
I want to go...
this is hard. I'm going to go with the first one.
Either the first or the third one, I think.
Those... Yeah, I was thinking first or third. Because Andrew will just let out a ha sometimes. Yeah.
All right. Which would you rather be a part of? The Evil League of Evil, the Henchman Union, Hero Hall of Fame. Be a part, I am leading all these to glory.
Leading all of the, so all of them?
Yeah, I guess.
I feel like I would probably be part of the Evil League of Evil if I had to be a part of any of these.
I'd be a part of the Henchman Union, because that's where I imagine.
Well, yeah, because you're moist.
I am moist. And you're the Mad Hatter, so.
Yeah, Mad Hatter would definitely be in the Evil League of Evil, so.
All right. Who is our nemesis, Andrew? Dr. Horrible, Bad Horse, Captain Hammer, Johnny Snow. Bree, which one do you think?
Oh, who's the most problematic?
Probably Captain Hammer.
Then Captain Hammer it is.
You agree, Andrew?
Honestly, I think my nemesis would be Dr. Horrible.
I'm gonna pick Captain Hammer. The world is a mess. What do you feel compelled to do? Rule it, take advantage of it, save it, ignore it.
I feel like rule it and take advantage of it are almost the same thing. Save it, I guess, would be the good answer?
The honest answer is ignore it.
That's what we're all doing, right? Yeah. I'm just kidding.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, I mean...
Ignore it.
I would say save it, but sure.
All right.
We should save it. No, go back up.
We should save the world.
We should save it.
All right. Which Dr. Horrible song is your favorite? My favorite.
Bad Horse Chorus. We already said this.
Bad Horse Chorus, yes. What do you think about doing laundry? It's stunningly boring chore. I have other people do that for me. Depends. What do you think of it? I love it.
It's a stunningly boring chore.
Hard agree.
I agree.
I hate doing laundry.
Yeah, honestly, why would you even want to date a girl who thinks that laundry is fun? Other than just making her do your laundry, I guess.
Yeah, that's fun. Which would you rather have? A freeze ray, a transmatter ray, a teleportation suit, a death ray? Teleportation suit, I think.
I'm afraid of teleportation. Sure. I wouldn't want to use
one. Why? Because your previous version of yourself dies and you just get created a new version? Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Kill me.
Yes. I would want a transmatter ray because I'd want to make everyone trans.
Oh, you know what? I'm into that. Andrew sold me. What do you think, Bree?
Love it.
Let's make everyone trans. Which would you rather rule? The world, your dreams, everything. Literally everything. Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to deal with that.
Bree?
Nothing.
What would you do to get into the evil League of Eagle? Kill a kid who grew up to be the president. Pull off a major heist. Nothing. Why would I want to be a part of that? Smother an old lady.
Pull nothing. Off a major heist?
I do nothing. I'm agreeing with Bree.
But we earlier said that we would want to be in the evil League of Evil. I feel like...
We had to choose one.
Okay.
Which villain would you rather go on a date with? Conflict Diamond, Bait and Switch, Bad Horse, or Moist? You guys are on a date with Moist right now.
I don't know who Conflict Diamond or Bait and Switch are. And I definitely don't want to date a horse or a sweaty guy. I'm going to go with Conflict Diamond, because that sounds like a cool name, I guess.
All right. Do you keep a diary? Well, I run a blog. Yes. No, that's so girly. Yeah, but no one knows about it.
No, that's so girly.
Well, I run a blog.
I like that that's the only reason that you would say no. There is no other option for no. It's no, that's so girly.
No, yeah.
Will you lend a caring hand? Anything for you. I'm a bit busy right now. Never. Depends. What do I get out of it?
Anything for you.
What form of communication do you prefer? Texting, Facebook, snail mail, talking on the phone?
Talking on the phone.
Yeah, I'm going to go with talking on the phone as well.
Of the following, which kind of frozen yogurt do you prefer? Vanilla, chocolate, cookies and cream, raspberry. Cookies and cream.
I lean chocolate.
All right. I got beaten out. Which trait best describes you? Caring, determined, cheese, evil. Cheese.
Yeah, cheese.
How often do you do laundry? Never. Once a week? Twice a week? I have people for that.
Once a week.
When you have something to accomplish, how do you go about getting it done? Do what a man's gotta do. Finish it without hesitation. Ignore it. Find others to help you.
Do what a man's gotta do.
All right. Where would you rather volunteer? Homeless shelter, local health hospital, Greenpeace, Humane Society. Bree!
Humane Society.
Hell yeah. Fuck them people. Let's help dogs.
Ugh.
If you're trying to hide from someone, where would you hide behind? A bush, a bench, a car, an animal?
Probably a car? Hide behind an
animal.
Wait,
I want to change my answer. Wait. What? Go back up. I want to change my answer. Andrew does... let's go to a homeless shelter.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Damn.
I'd rather help people.
I guess. Where would you hide your evil lair? On the top of a suburban neighborhood, top of a high rise, in some kind of cave under the city, and out of the woods.
In some kind of cave under the city?
Hell yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah, that seems like the coolest one.
Holy shit, okay, we're almost done. I'm like, this is getting pretty long. All right, what would you describe your style? Comfy, sexy, retro, ever evolving with the times. We're all kind
definitely
of retro.
Definitely sexy.
We all said something different.
Let's say comfy. I'm into that.
I think comfy actually is the most accurate. I don't wear anything uncomfortable ever.
What did you do last weekend? Hunted wild signatures, went on a date, stayed home by myself, kicked butts, and took names.
That fourth one, kick butts, took names.
What would you rather eat with? Spoon, knife, fork, spork?
Spoon.
Spoon.
What do you have a PhD in? Mathematics, history, horribleness. I don't have a PhD.
Don't have a PhD.
I don't have a PhD.
No, PhD. Have you ever been fired? Never. More than once.
Yes. Once.
Yeah, Meatloaf.
I've walked off the job before.
Meatloaf said you got fired from Best Buy.
It's true. He said that. I guess if Meatloaf said it, it's probably true.
What quote is your favorite? I want to be an achiever like Bad Horse. The hammer is my penis. Oh, goodness. Look at my wrist. I have to go. What a crazy random happenstance.
The hammer is my penis.
Yes. What would you do to cheer someone
hilarious.
Up? Steal something from them, buy them a building, take them to a carnival, sing them a song.
Steal something for them.
Hell yeah. Okay, two more.
We're still going.
Who were you in high school? Jock, nerd, popular, band geek?
I was actually none of those.
Yeah.
But same. Yeah, sure, we'll go band geek.
Yeah.
Do you have a groupies? I wish, of course. Why would I? You feel the need to ask?
I do have groupies.
Probably not.
Probably
but...
you feel the need to ask because it should be like kind of apparent.
Final question. Are you hero or villain? Villain, hero, henchman, neither.
I mean, in real life, neither. So.
Yeah, same.
Neither. We are Captain Hammer, everybody.
Yeah.
We're the most problematic.
Yeah. A total dreamboat. And as effective as you are handsome, while you may get the job done, you can be a bit full of yourself from time to time and aren't above taking what you want by force. If necessary, suppose it just goes to show everyone's a hero in their own way, no matter what that way is.
I don't like it.
I'm so glad that we're Gaston.
No one's problematic like Gaston, da-da-da-dic like Gaston. On that note, everybody, what is your overall thoughts on Dr. Horrible Sing-Along blog and your cheese rating? Andrew, why don't you go first?
Oh, boy. Overall thoughts? You know, it's short. And, you know, it's not, like, unwatchably bad. It's just kind of, you know... not very good. Yeah, I don't know. You've probably already seen this if you're listening to our show anyway, so I guess I don't have to give a recommendation or not. So,
yeah.
Cheese rating? I'll give it like a Ziploc bag full of melted cheese that got transmattered or whatever. Probably not very tasty. Maybe smells like human.
Oh, God. All right, Bree, what about you?
The musical itself sounds a lot, problematic. I don't think I will watch it after your guys' spiel about it. I'm going to give it a blue cheese because I don't like blue cheese.
The dressing or the actual cheese?
Both.
Ooh.
It's yucca.
You know what? That's fair. I respect that. Yeah, Dr. Horrible is something I don't think I dove into. I really liked it when I was younger. When it first came out, I was really into it. And it just has lost its luster, both in as far as Nathan Fillion and Joss Whedon goes. Like, it does not hit the same buttons for me as it did 14 years ago. Sadly enough, would you believe it? So the only cheese I can give it is hammer cheese, which is something you serve at parties where you put a little cheese block into a pretzel stick and it looks like a hammer.
All right.
Very nice.
All right.
The hammer cheese.
Right. You know who definitely likes to hammer their cheese, though?
My penis.
You're right. And also our wonderful patrons. Thank you guys for listening. Please follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher at Musicals with Cheese. We're on Twitter at Cheesy Musicals, Patreon Musicals with Cheese, Instagram Musicals with Cheese. We have a YouTube page, Musicals with Cheese. We should have some new Grease videos up there right about now. You can see us get drunk watching Grease. It's a good time. Shoot us an email at musicaltheaterlives@gmail.com. Our keeper of the cheese is Juliet Antonio. This show is produced by the incredible, the wonderful, my favorite person in the whole wide world, Brianna Jones!
Yay, I didn't cry!
Our theme songs were created by the amazing Robo Nash of IOU Music UK. Thank you to the Broadway Podcast Network for having us on the platform and for not kicking us off for, you know, talking so much shit about Neil Patrick Harris, our Lord and Savior. Come see us over at BroadwayCon this year. We'll be there on Saturday at 1 p.m. doing a live show, Saturday the 9th of July. So come join us. It'll be a good time in case you missed our other plug for it in the mid-show. I know some people just hit that skip button during the mid-show, and God bless you. You're great. All right, folks, is there anything else we have left to say before we wrap this on up?
I don't love the name Joss.
Just call yourself Josh at this point.
J-O-S-S.
Yeah. I thought his name was Josh Whedon for a long time.
Also, we should have canceled him years ago just for the name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joss?
Joss? It was like he was made to be called Justice League. Like his name was made to be that.
the Justice League.
Have you seen like the Joss Whedon version of the Justice League?
No. Is it good?
No. Unwatchably bad.
Okay. Oof.
I don't fall asleep in movies very often, and I fell asleep at that one. In the theater. I fell asleep
That's not good.
I fell asleep to that one and Jupiter Ascending and no other movie in my entire life. I guess I just don't like good movies. All right, we'll see you next time on Musicals with Cheese. I cannot believe my eyes, how the world's fully going wise, but it's plain to see evil inside of me is on the rise. That's my Neil Patrick Harris impression.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.